advice, investing, and trading on thinkorswim. Learn more at schwab.com. And from the Doris Duke Foundation.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the Dole Institute of Politics, hosting the annual Tribute to Veterans Gala on Sunday, November 9th. Open to the public, reservations required. Details and registration at doleinstitute.org.
It's 84 degrees in Lawrence, 83 in Topeka. The time is 6:06. You're listening to Kansas Public Radio.
At a base price of $517,750. Whatever suits the life of a showgirl better. Hazel Sills, NPR News.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio. We're at 91.5 FM in Lawrence. Also at 91.3 FM in Junction City. We actually have quite a few frequencies all around the state. They are listed for you where we are streaming at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from City Wine Market, specializing in wines for every palate and striving to help find customers' next bottle of wine since 2010. More information at citywinemarket.com.
Coming up on KPR News Headlines at 6:30, then we will speak with the president of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees about how federal workers are handling the latest round of layoffs. We will also meet noted author Chris Krause. You may know her. If you went to graduate school in the 90s, you probably know her. Absolutely integral to the journal Semia Text. Anyway, she's written quite a few books, and she has a new one out. We will meet her coming up on KPR. Stick around.
Support for KPR comes from the Lead Center, welcoming singer-songwriter and master folk storyteller Ellis Paul, Sunday, October 19th, 7:30 p.m. at the Pavilion. Tickets are available at lead.ku.edu.
If you were waiting to buy your tickets for KPR's Big Band Christmas, I have a piece of advice. You should probably hurry because tickets to this event sold out very quickly last year. It's our annual holiday bash with the Kansas City Jazz Orchestra. It's going to be happening on Saturday night, December 13th. Tickets on sale at Ticketmaster.com and Liberty Hall. It's made possible in part by Dr. Stephen H. Chronister, Healing Smiles of Topeka. It's 6:20.
This is NPR News.
Americans are paying more for everything, including health care. So how did one company arrange to provide health insurance to employees for nothing?
Healthy employees make for a productive workforce and also a place where our teams want to come to work every day.
How one company found a solution. Tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning, beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations for Morning Edition. Tomorrow, your hosts are Steve Inskeep, Layla Fonnell, and Matthew Algio.
Did you know that listeners are more apt to frequent businesses that support their local public radio station? Well, if you run a business, you can harness that passion for public radio by becoming a KPR sponsor. Learn more at sponsorship.kansaspublicradio.org.
News headlines coming up next. It's 84 degrees in Lawrence, 83 in Topeka. It is 6:30.
I'm Gabriella Paul in Tampa.
Stocks finished mixed on Wall Street today after a seesaw day of trading. This is NPR.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. More families of kindergartners in Kansas are opting out of vaccinations for non-medical reasons. Jody Fortino has the details.
The Kansas Department of Health and Environment reports the number of kindergartners with vaccine exemptions increased from about 3% in the 2023-2024 school year to more than 3.5% last year. The rate of kindergartners who received their required vaccines to attend public schools increased slightly last year to nearly 90%. But there are statewide disparities. The Kansas Reflector reports that 22 counties had vaccination rates at less than 75%. The percentage of kindergartners vaccinated against measles, mumps, and rubella is down by nearly 4% since the 2019-2020 school year. I'm Jody Fortino.
Kansas is one of 22 states experiencing a recession. That's according to a recent report from Moody's. The financial services report considered factors like job growth and farm values. Declining crop prices and uncertainty over tariffs also contribute to the state's vulnerability. But not all economists are in agreement about that. Becca Selby-Leach directs the Center for Economic Development and Business Research at Wichita State University. She says unemployment in Kansas is ticking up, but not as quickly as the national rate.
Hearing from several different economists with different takes on it is a good way to go. It is possible we're in a recession, but I don't think panicking about it at this stage is warranted.
A recession is a decline in economic activity that lasts more than a few months. A report in August named Kansas as the third most vulnerable state to a recession behind Alaska and Mississippi. District Judge Ryan Rosauer has found probable cause that former Marion Police Chief Gideon Cody committed the crime of interfering with the judicial process in a case connected to raids on a newspaper and the publisher's home in August of 2023. The Kansas Reflector reports that Cody is accused of telling witness Carrie Newell to delete text messages the two exchanged before, during, and after the raids on the Marion County Record, editor-publisher Eric Myers' home, and the home of City Councilwoman Ruth Herbel. The incidents drew international attention. Cody entered a not guilty plea, and Rosauer scheduled a trial for February. Cody is not being tried for the raids themselves. The forecast for northeast and east central Kansas, mostly clear skies tonight with a low in the lower 60s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the lower 80s. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low in the lower 60s. 30% chance of rain on Friday, highs in the lower 80s. 80% chance of showers and storms Friday night with a low in the upper 50s. This is KPR and it is 6:35.
It's All Things every weekday morning.
Join us tomorrow morning, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations for Morning Edition. Matthew Algio will have all the latest local news. From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio at 91.5 FM in Lawrence. Also at 89.7 FM in Emporia, 99.5 FM in Manhattan, lots of frequencies, and always streaming at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from Delta Dental of Kansas, asking listeners when they last visited a dentist. For a preventive checkup, dentists can be found at deltadentalks.com/find.
We still have about 11 minutes of All Things Considered yet to come. If you're joining us on KPR One Station, stay tuned. News headlines followed by Stardate, then 2 hours of classical music with Destiny as your host, followed by Jazz in the Night. If you're joining us on KPR Two, up next, we have the Moth Radio Hour.
Support for KPR comes from Green Lady Lounge, offering live Kansas City jazz 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Green Lady Lounge is located at 1809 Grand Boulevard, Kansas City. Information at greenladylounge.com.
We are expecting a low in the lower 60s tonight. Another warm one for the next couple of days, actually. Highs in the lower 80s tomorrow and Friday. It's 10 minutes before 7.
This is Progressive's rate comparison tool. Customers can see options and rates side by side. More at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. From the Lodestar Foundation, inspired by the principle that helping those in need is a path to a happier, healthier, and more meaningful life. Learn more at lodestarfoundation.org. From the Kauffman Foundation, providing access to opportunities that help people achieve financial stability, upward mobility, and economic prosperity, regardless of race, gender, or geography. Kauffman.org. And from listeners like you, who donate to this NPR station.
You might hear some people you agree with on Morning Edition and some you don't.
That's the point. Different views for a full picture of the news. Listen weekdays from NPR News.
Monday through Friday, 5 to 9 a.m., you will hear Morning Edition on your KPR stations.
Support for KPR comes from Theater Lawrence, presenting the Rocky Horror Picture Show, showing October 23rd through October 25th. Details at theaterlawrence.com.
We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio. Up next, we have news headlines, followed by Stardate, then 2 hours of classical music with Destiny, all followed by Jazz in the Night. Stick around.
Support for KPR comes from Kansas Tree Care, local arborists who provide professional tree care in the greater Lawrence area and who can be reached at kansastreecare.com or at 785-843-TREE.
Once again this year, KPR's Live Day broadcast will feature our own Destiny Ann Mermegan in a free concert at the Lawrence Public Library. That is happening Friday night, October 24th. Admission is free, but seating is limited, so please make an RSVP. I guess that's redundant. RSVP, s'il vous plaît, at kansaspublicradio.org so we can have enough chairs set up. Hope you can join us for a night of spooky tunes and bad jokes for Halloween. It's presented by KPR. It's 7:01.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. President Trump has confirmed reports that he greenlit covert CIA operations in Venezuela. As NPR's Franco Ordonez reports, Trump says it's part of his efforts to tackle drug trafficking.
President Trump has escalated U.S. efforts to destabilize Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro, acknowledging that he authorized an attempt to go after trafficking inside Venezuelan borders.
We've almost totally stopped it by sea. Now we'll stop it by land.
Speaking from the Oval Office, Trump was responding to questions about a report on the classified directive from the New York Times.
I authorized for two reasons, really. Number one, they have emptied their prisons into the United States of America.
He also cited the amount of drugs entering the country via Venezuela, and he dismissed criticism that the administration was not sharing enough information about U.S. efforts. Franco Ordonez, NPR News.
A federal court says President Trump has to stop firing workers during the government shutdown. U.S. District Judge Susan Ilston in San Francisco issued the ruling after federal agencies started laying off workers last week. Trump has said he's targeting what he calls Democrat agencies. Democrats say they're not intimidated by Trump blaming them for the layoffs. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says Democrats are holding firm on their demands for Congress to extend health care subsidies.
Neither Trump nor congressional Republicans are even trying to solve the health care crisis. And that is just a horror for the American people.
Meanwhile, Republicans are confident in their strategy to not negotiate with Democrats on health care. Here's Senate Majority Leader John Thune.
I think the American people are wondering when the Senate Democrats are going to end their temper tantrum and vote to reopen the government.
A bill to temporarily fund the government again failed in the Senate today. Oklahoma's superintendent for public schools is scrapping plans to require schools to include biblical instruction in the classroom. Lionel Ramos of member station KOSU reports.
Oklahoma's previous superintendent had mandated that every classroom in the state have a Bible and every teacher include the Ten Commandments in their curricula. It quickly faced a legal challenge and has wound up in the state Supreme Court. The state's new superintendent, Lyndall Fields, now says he's nixing the plan. Oklahoma Department of Education spokesperson Tara Thompson says the agency plans to file a motion to dismiss the case.
Are we spending taxpayer dollars wisely and as good stewards? And if the answer to that is no, then we need to start looking at rescinding or making changes to things that have been put in place.
It's a stark shift away from what Fields' predecessor, Ryan Walters, intended, and what prompted a coalition of parents, teachers, and faith leaders to file the lawsuit last year. For NPR News, I'm Lionel Ramos in Oklahoma City.
Most U.S. stocks rose today. This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from Capital One, offering their premium travel card Venture X.
What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Details at CapitalOne.com. This is Kansas Public Radio.
Start date October 15th. For decades, Regulus had astronomers fooled. The star is bright, hot, and blue, an indication that it was quite young. Most estimates put its age at no more than 100 million years, about 2% the age of the Sun. Instead, it's at least a billion years old. But like a vampire, it's been rejuvenated by taking the life's blood of a companion, making it look much younger. The star we see as Regulus is about 4 times the size and mass of the Sun, and more than 300 times brighter. A few decades ago, astronomers discovered its companion, a dead star known as a white dwarf. The two stars are so close together that the corpse was hidden in the glare of the bright star. The presence of the companion means the system has to be at least a billion years old, old enough for the companion to evolve to its present state. As it evolved, it puffed up. Gas flowed from its surface over to the other star. That made the star we see today much bigger and heavier. It also made the star hotter, which made it bluer. Hot blue stars usually are quite young. So astronomers were fooled into thinking that bright Regulus was still a youngster, not an older star that's been rejuvenated. Look for Regulus close to the moon at dawn tomorrow. The distance between them will narrow as you move westward. They'll be especially close as seen from Alaska or Hawaii. You can find out about McDonald Observatory visitor programs at mcdonaldobservatory.org. And for the McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Night on Bald Mountain here on KPR. Spooky. By Mazursky. Eric Kunzel and the Cincinnati Pops playing that. Gosh, I would love for you to get in the spooky Halloween spirit with me. I'm Destiny, your host, and also I play the violin, and I will be doing so live and in person Friday night, October 24th at the Lawrence Public Library. Free concert, 7 p.m. That's right. I'm playing some awesome Halloween tunes with some friends, and it's going to be fun. It's a sequel to last year's concert, shall we say, so you know there are definitely going to be bad jokes and epic, epic music. Oh, like I said, admission's free, but I would RSVP if you would like to save your seat, because it gets pretty full. It's fun. Mm. It's Wednesday. We're in the middle of the week. Potpourri is fun, so I found something literally titled Potpourri. We're going to listen to that in 25 minutes. I picked it just because I liked the title. It's very fun. Right now, though, we are going to take a dip in the ocean. We're pretending it's still summer and hot, because I know some of you love summer. Debussy's La Mer. I've got Leonard Slatkin and the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra. It's about 24 minutes. It's beautiful. Enjoy it right now on KPR. WC's La Mer here on KPR. Ooh, the ocean is so mysterious. Leonard Slatkin and the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra. I have something mysterious coming up at the end of the hour, actually. Has my name in the title. Because that's not egotistical or anything. I can't help it. My name is just rife with all of the jokes that you can think of. Support for classical music on KPR comes from Peasley Tech in Lawrence, Kansas. The Peasley Promise offers debt-free career training for local high school students and low-income Douglas County residents. Details and donation info at peasleytech.org/peasleypromise. And the Midwest Trust Center at JCCC, presenting the Vienna Boys Choir October 25th. Sharing music across the globe for six centuries. Details at jccc.edu/mtc. Potpourri from Rossini's Tancredi. Well, this is the Cavatina duo, and this is composed by Mario Giuliani. Wow, very Italian name. Some potpourri. I hope you enjoy it, now on Kansas Public Radio. Thank you.
Yes, did you hear the music from Rossini's Tancredi in that? That was the Potpourri by Mario Giuliani with the Cavatino Duo. Fun. I love those little modern takes on old music, shall we say. Support for classical music on KPR comes from the Willow Domestic Violence Center's Bijou, an evening of Roaring Twenties, Ritz, Jazz, and a live auction, all in support of the Willow. Tomorrow at 6 p.m. at Maselli's. Tickets at willowdvcenter.org. Well, Brian J. Nelson is a very nice human being and composer, and he wrote something called The Fanfare on the Destiny of Fate. And well, I've got a fanfare next hour. I just couldn't resist playing this one since I've got exactly 2 minutes left and it has my name in the title. It's right now with KU Brass and Percussion on KPR. Wow, that is epic. It also reminds me of Copland's Fanfare for the Common Man. Here on KPR, Brian J. Nelson's Fanfare on the Destiny of Fate. I am your host, Destiny, and I thought that was a fun thing to sneak in. Frank Perez was conducting the KU Brass and Percussion. I have a really interesting fanfare next hour that you cannot miss. It's on the organ. It's not too long. It's pretty amazing. I just love the organ sometimes when it just rattles your entire insides in the very best way. Like soup boiling. Yum. I'm hungry. Sorry if it's dinner hour right now. Can't help myself. I'm a little hungry. And I'm hungry for more music, which we'll hear after the news, so don't you go anywhere. I've got some classics next hour here on KPR.
Hey, it's A. Martinez. We've all been there. You get a phone call or knock on your door too early in the morning before you're fully awake. Who and why, you wonder, at this hour? For something you want to hear first thing, tune into Morning Edition. We'll get you up to date on the day's biggest headlines and bring you unexpected stories that make you smile. Listen whenever you're ready, weekday mornings from NPR News.
Morning Edition is here for you weekdays on KPR from 5 to 9 a.m. This is Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas for KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, and KANQ Chanute at 90.3. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio. Support for news on KPR comes from the University of Kansas. serving Kansans in the world through social and behavioral approaches to developmental disability research. Information about research at KU is at ku.edu. And Kaiser Cummings Jewelers, more than 35 years of custom-designed, handcrafted jewelry in downtown Lawrence. Collection online at kaisercummings.com.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. The Trump administration is cutting another 466 federal workers from the Department of Education. The agency had already been hit hard and is now being targeted during the government shutdown, as NPR's Corey Turner reports.
Earlier this year, OCR had 12 regional enforcement offices staffed with attorneys who investigate allegations of schools violating student civil rights. After March layoffs, the administration closed more than half of them. Now, a union that represents many department employees tells NPR that staffers in four of the five remaining enforcement offices have also received layoff notices. The union says if those offices have been abolished, that would leave the Office for Civil Rights with just one regional office in Kansas City. The Education Department did not respond to a request for clarity. The layoffs will be on hold due to a court ruling, but it's not clear for how long. Corey Turner, NPR News.
Brown University is rejecting President Trump's offer for favorable access to federal funding in exchange for agreeing to Trump's politicized agenda for higher education. The university said doing so would curtail academic freedom and undermine its independence. The Massachusetts Institute of Technology was the first to reject the proposal last week. The Trump administration is withholding $40 million in federal transportation funding from California. NPR's Joel Rose reports the Department of Transportation says the state is failing to enforce English language requirements for truckers.
Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy says California is the only state that, quote, refuses to ensure big rig drivers can read our road signs and communicate with law enforcement. The Department of Transportation had earlier warned California, Washington State, and New Mexico that they could lose federal funds unless they enforce English proficiency requirements for commercial truck drivers. The warning came after a deadly crash in Florida this summer involving an Indian-born truck driver who made an illegal U-turn. California officials say the state does enforce federal language proficiency requirements and that its commercial driver's license holders have a fatal crash rate nearly 40% lower than the national average for truckers. Joel Rose, NPR News, Washington.
Delaware's Supreme Court heard arguments today in a case over Elon Musk's compensation. NPR's Camilla Domonoske reports on the package worth more than $100 billion.
The pay package in question is the largest in history. A lower court in Delaware had thrown it out, saying Musk had too much influence over his own pay. Tesla appealed, emphasizing that shareholders backed this pay package, which said Musk would only get paid if he met huge, seemingly unachievable, targets for growth. Here's Jeff Wall, a lawyer for Tesla, in his closing remarks.
It'd be laughable if we didn't know with the benefit of hindsight that he'd done it. And 73% of stockholders said, I'll take that deal.
Some justices on the state's high court seemed sympathetic to Tesla's arguments, with one justice raising the fact that Musk couldn't take back the work he did over many years. Camila Domonoske, NPR News.
It's NPR.
Support for NPR comes from Eric and Wendy Schmidt through the Schmidt Family Foundation, working toward a healthy, resilient, secure world for all. On the web at theschmidt.org. This is Kansas Public Radio.
On this week's episode of Research Matters.
Well, I love my research and I love what KU is doing and how KU is contributing to the community. And me being part of KU has been a wonderful thing for me.
That KU graduate researcher is studying ways to turn trash into treasure, turning farm waste into biofuels.
My name is Clement Feijimi. I'm a first-year PhD student in mechanical engineering in KU. I'm currently researching biomass gasification and combustion.
Gasification is an emerging technology that uses a high-temperature process that converts carbon-based substances to syngas and even synthetic fuels. How is this process being used today?
Coal is generally used, but because of the environmental concern, we are moving towards more organic and sustainable substances.
As a more sustainable source, you've been looking into farm waste, the leftovers from farming after harvest. How are you doing this?
So the process is more taking the waste from farmland and looking at their chemical composition and try to see what reaction they can undergo to give us the particular fuel we need.
Besides the environmental advantages, How could this one day help the average Kansas farmer?
So we know that waste disposal is a great concern. So for an average farmer in Kansas, if they can, let's say, a way to generate income from the waste on farm, it's going to be a benefit to them because they can look at this way and see a way of getting more income from them.
For more information about graduate research, visit graduate.ku.edu or our website at kansaspublicradio.org. For Research Matters, I'm Steve Kincaid.
From the finale of The Marriage of Figaro here on KPR by Mozart, Hans Graf conducting, Mozarteum Orchestra. Happy second hour of Evening Classical. I've got some classics for you, including an epic fanfare in about half an hour. When I say epic, I mean epic. Mm-hmm. You know what else is epic? It's the word of the week. Friday night, October 24th, it's Live Day. It's free. I'm playing a free concert at 7 p.m. at the Lawrence Public Library. It's presented by KPR, and we would like you to RSVP on our website because it fills up, but it's going to be so much fun. I'll be playing some spooky tunes on my violin and also some really funny music. Probably some bad jokes, but it's going to be quite the show. It's a sequel to last year's Halloween. I hope to see you there, dear listeners. Indeed, I do. For now, I thought a Haydn string quartet would be a good listen. And, well, this one's called The Emperor. It's with the Takash Quartet. It's about 25 minutes long right now on Kansas Public Radio.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Emperor String Quartet by Haydn here on KPR with the Takash Quartet. Oh, perfect for what I'm about to play that is also for the Emperor and Emperor. This is Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence, 91.3 Junction City, and gosh, I am having some fun tonight with the music. I'm just going to let you listen to this next one, because I think epic always describes something with an organ. Not the ones inside your body, but the instrument, here on KPR. Come on, that's like the best 3 minutes of organ ever. Antonio Solier, the Emperor's Fanfare with the great Michael Murray at the organ. I love going into really old churches that have these giant organs and then they just blast them as loud as possible. And I can sit there and I can just vibrate, like I said, boiling soup. I know I'm such a weirdo, but I love the organ. All right. If you haven't heard Sasson's Organ Symphony, you should listen to that. It's epic. Gosh, I need to get a new word. I will try to feature it sometime soon for you. Okay. Did you know? Well, yes, you do if you listen to this program, that Haydn was Beethoven's teacher, and you might think that I am about to play the Emperor Concerto by Beethoven right now, but I am not. I am going to play The Goodbyes Piano Sonata, and it's called that because the three movements are programmatically titled. to describe the farewell, absence, and return of his patron, Archduke Rudolf. Rudolf had to leave Vienna during a Napoleon invasion. So, we've got the German titles, Farewell, Absence, and Return for you. And, well, I'm not going to try to speak in German for you. I'm just going to tell you that right now, Alfred Brendel is going to play Beethoven's Piano Sonata No. 26, The Goodbyes. I hope you enjoy it on KPR.
Thank you.
Wow, Beethoven. Ugh. You know he's my favorite composer here on KPR. That was his Piano Sonata number 26, Alfred Brendel playing, titled The Goodbyes, featuring three movements, the farewell, the absence, the return, about his patron, Archduke Rudolph. I am Destiny, and we would love it if you would become a patron of KPR. Hey, perfect segue. So while I am about to bid you good night and goodbye, you can go to kansaspublicradio.org and donate to keep us on the airwaves. Yes. Okay. The news and jazz is up next here on your favorite radio station, KPR.
Get caught up.
We are learning new information this morning about the lengthy...
Take a step back.
All right, what's really going on here?
And prepare for what's ahead.
Are you expecting a breakthrough this week?
Stay on top of the news with Morning Edition from NPR News every weekday.
Morning Edition is here for you weekdays on KPR from 5 to 9 a.m. This is Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas. We're KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, and KANQ Chanute at 90.3. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio. Support for classical music on KPR comes from Maselli's, now hosting events from 25 to 400 at an expanded downtown Lawrence location, offering both full-service wedding event planning and hosting as well as catering to weddings off-site. Venue information online at maselli's.com.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. A federal judge in San Francisco has paused the Trump administration's latest rounds of mass layoffs during the government shutdown for now. The order applies to over 30 agencies. NPR's Andrea Hsu has more on the case brought by federal employee unions.
U.S. District Judge Susan Ilston said the unions are likely to prove that the Trump administration acted illegally in firing employees during the shutdown. She ordered a pause to the layoffs already underway and a halt to any new layoffs until a second hearing on October 28th. The government's attorney, Elizabeth Hedges, argued that the court lacks jurisdiction to hear the case and that the restraining order is not warranted because the plaintiffs have not demonstrated irreparable harm. Ilston did not find those arguments compelling and instead pressed Hedges to explain why the government believes the layoffs are legal. Hedges declined, saying she was not prepared to discuss the government's position on the merits at this time. Andrea Hsu, NPR News.
The Supreme Court seems poised to undercut the Voting Rights Act of 1965. It was upheld by the Supreme Court in the decades after it was enacted, but the current conservative court appeared skeptical of the landmark law during arguments over a Louisiana congressional map today, as NPR's Nina Totenberg explains.
Chief Justice John Roberts, who wrote the court's decision 2 years ago, downplayed the importance of that ruling, suggesting that he didn't see his decision as controlling the outcome in today's case. At issue was a redistricting map drawn by the Louisiana legislature after the decennial census. After years of litigation, the state, with a 30% black population, agreed to draw a second majority black district. Normally, that would have been the end of the case, but a self-described group of non-African-American voters intervened at that point to object to the legislature's redistricting.
NPR's Nina Totenberg reporting. Federal health officials have clarified the eligibility of pregnant women to get vaccinated against COVID-19. NPR's Rob Stein reports.
The Health and Human Services Department says pregnant women fall into the same category as any other healthy adult. They're eligible for a COVID shot as long as they first discuss the decision with the healthcare professional. The eligibility of pregnant women has been unclear because of conflicting messages from federal health officials. But in response to a query from NPR, an HHS spokesperson confirmed that pregnant women are eligible. The American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, however, goes further, saying the shots should be recommended for pregnant women, not just be an option, because COVID can be very dangerous for pregnant women. Rob Stein, NPR News.
Most U.S. stocks rose today. This is NPR News from Washington. Alaska is dealing with one of the biggest emergency responses in decades after the remnants of a typhoon hit coastal villages over the weekend. The storm brought record surges, sweeping away homes and leaving 1,500 residents in makeshift shelters. The Trump administration cut federal grants that were meant to help small, mostly indigenous villages prepare for such disasters. The army in Madagascar has seized power days after the president fled, citing threats on his life. Kate Bartlett reports the move comes after weeks of anti-government protests.
A colonel in an elite army unit has announced the military has taken over the country. His statement came minutes after members of parliament voted to impeach President Andry Rajoelina. Madagascar's youth took to the streets last month, demanding Rajoelina resign amid anger over water and electricity shortages crippling the country. Over the weekend, the CAPSAT military unit announced they had sided with the protesters. Rajoelina then fled and is in hiding in an undisclosed location. The former French colony in the Indian Ocean off the coast of East Africa is no stranger to rebellions. Rajoelina himself first came to power as leader of a transitional government following a coup in 2009. He later ran for election and won. For NPR News, I'm Kate Bartlett in Johannesburg.
LeBron James, Chris Paul, and Kyle Lowry are making history as they enter their 20th NBA seasons or more. It's the first time the league has three players in the 20-season club simultaneously. James will soon become the first pro basketballer to play 23 seasons. I'm Ryland Barton. You're listening to NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Doris Duke Foundation, which aims to support the well-being of people and the planet for a more creative, equitable, and sustainable future. And listeners like you who donate to this NPR station.
Well, greetings, and thank you for stopping in to check out some jazz here on Kansas Public Radio. I'm Tom Parkinson. It's All Night Jazz here on KPR. We got things started with something from Oscar Peterson, recorded in Vienna in 1994, but not released until 30 years later, in 2024. This concert in Vienna was a bit of a comeback for Oscar. He had had a stroke a couple of years earlier that affected his left side and his left hand, and he was out for about 2 years. And I guess it was some question, at least in his mind, whether he could play up to the standards that he had set for himself earlier, and this kind of proved that he certainly could and did. And this was in 1994 in Vienna with Niels Henning Orsted Pettersson on bass, Lauren Lofsky, the guitarist, and Martin Drew behind the drums. And we heard one of Oscar's compositions, City Lights. To get things started here on All Night Jazz on Kansas Public Radio, we're going to move on now to another live disc, this one from the great tenor saxophone man, Dexter Gordon. This is Dex at the Keystone Corner in San Francisco. This is from back in 1979. It's part of a three-disc box set with lots and lots of great music on it. We're not going to listen to the whole box set, of course. We don't have time to do that this hour. We're going to listen to a couple of them, though. We're going to start out with the Johnny Mercer standard, Tangerine, and then we're going to go from there to a lovely ballad, More Than You Know. Here's Dexter Gordon along with George Cables on the piano, Rufus Reed is the bassist, and Eddie Gladden playing the drums. From 1979 at the Keystone Corner in San Francisco, Dexter Gordon on All Night Jazz here on Kansas Public Radio.